Words of truth and value. You'll find it on 657 AM. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.
Mama, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Bongi, and Happy New Year to all the Radio Pulpit listeners. And thank you so much for being patient enough. As Bongi has said, it's a real battle, especially whenever the truth has to be released. The enemy does not want truth to be released, so he'll do everything to block it. But thank God that we win, and we're winning.
Yeah, we're winning, whether we are on Facebook or not yet.
That's right.
Yeah, but
that's
we continue. Right. And
the truth will still be told.
Ma, Happy New Year and all of the best in 2022. And when I see the battle going on like this, I realize how big this thing is, you know. May the Lord really keep you. May the Lord really protect you, because I know that you've been going around and educating God's people about their rights, let them know about law and their involvement as God's kingdom, you know. And we grew up in a time, and we've been taught that it's not godly for us to be in these spaces, not knowing that we are needed in these spaces. There are seven mountains of influence that we need to influence, and we need to even be in the governance of the country, know about laws, and be part of the laws that will be taken, you know, have a say to the bills and the laws in our country.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. We are supposed, that is the original mandate of the Ecclesia, as you've heard me say many times, that the Ecclesia is a governing body. When God says that we're salt and light, he's saying that we are to influence what happens in all the sectors, not just within the church frame or within the religious framework, but in every area, in the communication area, governmental area, business, economic area, in the marketplace, everywhere, family, sports, arts, entertainment, science, technology, all those areas, we are supposed to be influential. And law is one of the most important areas that we must partake, because the law determines what you can do and what you cannot do. So your conduct, your behavior, what you are allowed to do is determined by the laws of the nation. So if you don't want to be held in captivity and you know, into immoral laws, then you have to stand up. And as a democracy, democracy simply means government by the people and for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that means for democracy to be successful, the people must be active, and the people must be a part of determining what happens, what laws that they will abide by. Do they want immoral laws, or do they want moral laws that reflect their ethics? And so if you don't do that, then people will determine the laws for you, and they will bind you to laws that your faith does not agree with. They will bind you to laws that, you know, maybe involve the killing of innocents, things like that. And your faith says this is wrong. But if you're not involved in the process that is involved to pass a bill and legislation, then you will be held captive, and you will, you know, end up being in prison. You'll end up in prison because you don't want to abide by certain laws that are immoral, that are unrighteous. Psalms 97:2 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. So if you are a son of God in the kingdom, there is no law. The laws and justice that we must abide by must carry righteousness in them. If they're unrighteous, if they deal with sexual perversion or sexual immorality, in God's eyes, they're unrighteous and they're not real laws. They are actually illegal laws.
But now when it comes to the body of Christ, Maya, as we're talking about law and talking about democracy that we are living in, and that for laws to be passed in our country, for example, in South Africa, in a democratic country that we are in, we need to be active. That includes the body of Christ, right? We need to have a voice as well.
Absolutely includes the body of Christ. If we are saying that South Africa is about 80%, I mean, estimates have it between 80 and 85% Christian, then absolutely the body of Christ must be involved. It's amazing to me. And this, you know what tells us that we're not involved, Bongi?
Mm-hmm.
What tells us that we're not involved is when we have all these laws that are against, that are diametrically opposed to our faith, but they have been passed.
They're already operating.
They're already operating with an 85% Christian majority. How does that happen in a land where we're saying we're 85% Christian, but our laws are all anti-Christian? That simply tells you that the Christian, the body of Christ, and Christians have not been involved. Because how can a majority, you know, if we were truly majority who were active, then the remaining 15% that are there are the ones. And some of these laws that have been passed by certain groups, those groups, Bongi, only constitute maybe 3% of the population.
Now,
3% of a population who are pushing an agenda. So can you imagine then that a 3% population can control the agenda and determine the laws in an 85% where people are majority, but 3% are dictating and determining these are the standards, these are the principles by which we want to live by. 3% is controlling 85%.
Sure.
How does that become a majority?
But now,
democracy is about majority ruling.
Somebody might be asking a question, why are we talking about this with the body of Christ? And the question also that might also arise could be something like, what is the gospel and the law have in common? I mean, we sing and say, give me that old time religion. You know, it is good for me. So if you're going to talk to me about the law, when I'm actually expecting to hear scripture, so what do we have in common?
Well, the gospel, there's so many scriptures that talk about our role and our mandate as the ecclesia. I think many have heard that me explain the scripture, Matthew 16:18, when Yeshua is saying, I tell you that I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell, of Hades, will not prevail against it. And you've heard me explain the word ecclesia, which is the Greek word that was used. I will build my church, my ecclesia. And when you do a study of the original meaning of the word ecclesia, it is talking about a group of elders who sit together, a body, a group of people who sit together and govern and make decisions for citizens. So this is who the ecclesia was, that original Greek meaning. It's about a group of people who gather and function as the national assembly of heaven on earth. So the ecclesia, the church, is not just a group of individuals who are supposed to gather on Sundays and sing hymns.
Okay.
The ecclesia, the church in its original format, is a decision-making body. It's a governing body. An ecclesiastical body is a legislating body. And that's why we're supposed to make decrees. That's why we're supposed to possess the gates. That's why we're supposed to take dominion. That's why we are supposed to be the salt and to be the light. The salt brings the flavor. The light brings direction. So it is a governing body, the church. So if you're going to talk about laws, you cannot govern without laws.
Mm.
Was it not God was asking Job? And he said to Job, a critical question in Job 38:33. He said, Job, do you know the ordinances of heaven?
Hmm.
In other words, do you know the laws of heaven? The laws, do you know the laws? Whoever knows the laws determines the conduct and the behavior. So if the church as a legislative governing body is not involved in the lawmaking process, it simply means that others will make laws for us to which we become captive,
okay,
to which we now have to abide, to which we now have to, you know, now operate according to those laws, which are become unkingdom laws, unrighteous laws. We become subject to those laws because as sons of God, who are supposed to represent our Father's kingdom on earth, we are supposed to bring his kingdom legislation, his kingdom laws. When you say thy kingdom come, you can't allow worldly kingdom to now suppress, oppress the original creator's kingdom. So we are supposed to be here bringing alignment of our Father's kingdom on earth. So justice must be defined in terms of the one who is justice.
Mm-hmm.
God himself is justice. He's not just a dispenser of justice.
Sure.
He is justice. So he's not just one who, Isaiah 33:22 says, for the Lord is judge the Lord is lawgiver and the Lord is king. He will save us. So those are the three arms of government. The Lord is judge. Mm-hmm. He is the judiciary. The Lord is lawgiver. He's the legislature. The Lord is king. He's the executive. Those are the three arms of government, what makes government. So the three arms of government rest in God. All three arms of governance rest in God. He's the original source of governance.
Sure. So
if we are his sons, we must be functioning in all those three areas, in the judiciary, in the legislature, in the executive. We must be functioning in that area. And God, who is Jehovah El Mishpat, is one of his names, which means he is justice. So the dispensers of justice must be his sons.
Mm-hmm.
And they can dispense justice and laws in terms of his definition. And his definition says righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So according to the one who is justice, there are no laws. There's no real law. There's no real justice that can function, that can be there if it is without righteousness.
Mm.
So in God's eyes, every law that is unrighteous is illegal.
Sure. So now this is something that Ma, you have been steering over the years, and especially last year, trying to teach the church and educate the church to know that they can have a say. They shouldn't be silent with everything that's happening when bills are being made. And that's why we saw you coming up with the POPIA. We've seen you coming up also with the hate speech bill and all these other ones. So you've been trying to educate the church to know it's what position we should be taking. Because I'm just thinking that the scripture says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. But we
Isaiah
do not.
9:6. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I've been doing this, I think, for the past 15 years, really trying to educate the body of Christ. And I'm glad that I feel that now there's a wake up call now, because there have been some serious laws that have really tried to silence the church. And there are other bodies and organizations and movements that have come up in the last few years, like 4SA and others who have come up. So it's been very helpful that there are other people and organizations that are coming up. But, you know, we've been running around trying to send out this message for 15, almost 20 years, because, of course, I am a lawyer. Being that, I God has given me a bit of grace to understand the implications of law. And, you know, for the last 20 years, we've been trying to do it, and we've been really abused, even by members of the body of Christ, you know, who have told me 15, 20 years ago that I should just stick to preaching the gospel in the church or in a building and stop embarrassing myself. You know, whenever we would organize petitions, we would organize marches against gender-based violence, against rape, etc. I was actually most abused by church people. Yeah, as members of the church, you would tell me on Facebook, what's wrong with you? Why can't you be like other pastors? And so I've seen a shift, and I'm grateful for that shift, because now it seems there's a wake-up call that the body of Christ is beginning to understand that this is our arena, this is our mandate, and bit by bit, slowly by slowly, there's a wake-up call, and they're beginning to understand that their rights are being trampled on, their rights that are being squashed and ignored and overlooked, especially constitutional rights.
Mm-hmm.
So freedom of religion is a constitutional right. It's entrenched in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom of belief,
mm-hmm.
freedom of opinion, and mm-hmm. freedom of religion is a constitutionally entrenched right.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody now passes a law that interferes with your ability to practice your religion, then the Christians must rise up and protect it. If there's a law that says, for instance, a banning of spanking of children, let me use a real-life example, you know, that Christians need to rise up to defend that. I went to first submit at Emperor's Palace about 10 years ago on that, where there was a push. And, of course, we know now the Constitutional Court has ruled on it,
mm-hmm,
you know, about
mm-hmm.
2 years ago, to say that you cannot spank your children. But that is something which, as our faith actually says, it's part of the principles that are given to us as Christians to bring correction with the rod, not to kill our children, not to abuse them, but to use it in a responsible and accountable manner to bring correction to our children. All of us here, I'm sure everybody listening, received a spanking. almost everybody. Mm. There are very few people who are not spanked.
Mm.
None of us are abused children. None are adults. None of us are, you know, very few of us are traumatized. Maybe there could be one or two occasional parents who abused it. But overall, most of us grew up to be responsible adults. I'm certainly grateful that my parents spanked me because I could have gone a wrong way. There
sure.
was a time when I was hanging around with wrong people who were influencing me in the wrong direction.
Mm.
If my father had not spanked me, it's very likely that I would not be the person where I am today and who I am today.
Sure.
So I'm grateful for the spanking.
So
yeah.
It's very important then that we know our rights. We know our constitution and constitutional
yeah.
rights as well.
Yeah.
Be it, so it's every South African's right to know this.
Yeah. Absolutely. We must know it. And it's our responsibility to read and to know the Constitution and to know what we can and cannot do. And if you feel, because I know a lot of people come back to me and they say, law is too complicated. I don't understand what to say.
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine. But then there are people who God has appointed who have gone to law school, who understand the legislation, but they're also believers. And there are quite a few of us out there. You know, it's not just myself functioning out there. You've got 4SA, you've got Transformative Justice, you've got Cause for Justice. So, like I say, we're seeing some groups coming up in the last few years. So there are people who are trained lawyers who are also sons of God. And so our responsibility is to listen in and to know our rights. If we can't read the Constitution ourselves, and if we can't interpret the PAPUDA Act ourselves, or the hate speech bill, PAPUDA is the prevention, the promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination. If we can't understand it, then we have programs. I have a monthly program even on Radio Pulpit, you know, that we do with Dwayne.
Mm.
My Facebook page always is updating people. We've got many Facebook pages. On our websites, we're updating people. You know, we have monthly legislative imbezos that we do with the body of Christ. So join in
and
make sure that you hear, and we can explain to you what are the consequences of the hate speech bill.
Mm.
That if the hate speech bill or PAPUDA bill are passed, it will affect preachers, that it may affect your ability to preach the gospel. Because people, hate speech will be defined as what we in the Bible call sin. What is called sin, they have now defined it as hate speech. So that effectively prevents us and paralyzes us from preaching the gospel and from getting into a place of evangelism. So we have a court case right now, Bongi.
Mm.
A court case that is there simply because an evangelist preached to say Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
And that is that Jesus... You cannot preach the gospel without preaching Yeshua.
Yeah.
And he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm.
But now somebody's bringing a court case against him for discrimination to say, are you saying I cannot go to heaven because I don't believe in Jesus? And now that is being defined as hate speech, as being discriminatory. So if we don't stand up for our faith, then we will effectively be silenced. We will effectively be imprisoned where we cannot practice our faith. And freedom of belief, of opinion, of faith is a fundamental, you know, entrenched, constitutionally entrenched right. So we need to stand up for it as believers. We need to say, listen, it is our right to believe the way we want to. And we are the majority here. So it's time that we stand up and as believers, bazalwane, as bakaulingwe, and we say, kwanele, we say, genoeg, and we say, is enough, you know, it's enough, and we stand up, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. Let's stop being wimpy, wishy-washy Christians. Let's stop being wimps. Let's stop trying to protect our reputation. It says Jesus came down on earth and made himself of no reputation so that the mandate could be fulfilled. Who are you and I to be out there trying to protect our reputation? Because, I don't want people to think this of me. Then you are not an ambassador of Yeshua.
Hmm.
As an ambassador, we must represent and protect and defend and contend for the faith.
Mm.
So I'm praying that out there, we will all of us begin in 2022. Let's begin 2022 passionately as people who will possess the gates. possess the gates of our enemies, and contend for the faith. This is who we are. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Let's exhibit that power. A spirit of love and a sound mind. So in 2022, let's stop compromising.
Yeah.
The Bible says that when we're lukewarm, so that God, he was speaking to, the word was speaking to a church and said, because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you. I will spit you out.
So it's time to position ourselves and know where do we stand with God.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Now, that was our foundation with Mama, so that you know, and you always have your ears on the ground. You ask questions. You have heard that she's always available, and she can also point you to other organizations that can also help you. Now, we are on the mandatory vaccination, and we are looking at it and how it affects. Some Mama got emails now during their Christmas celebrations. And then here is an email that says, if you're not vaccinated in January on this day, do not even come close to the building. You know, you have to be these meters away from the building and all that. But because we do not know our rights, in some of the places, some employees have demanded that their workers also get vaccinated. Some varsities, tertiary institutions have declared to say that our students, none of them will get into the premises without a vaccination certificate. Now, before we can even know our rights on that, let's check. In September, it was mentioned that is not law as yet, but it's not compulsory. You know, it hasn't been passed as a law as yet.
Yeah.
But the country does allow such a policy. What's the meaning of that exactly?
What it means is that it is not mandatory. The government has not taken a position whereby it is now saying that vaccinations are mandatory. And this was confirmed. We had a Zoom meeting about 2 months ago with Dr. Jomo, who is the Deputy Minister of Health, and he confirmed it. And one of the questions I asked him, actually, was to say, if the government is saying it's not mandatory, why are certain members of the government, executive members, why are they making it mandatory? And the person I was referring to was the Minister of Sports, and Entertainment, because he had actually stated, I think it was Bafana Bafana who was playing, was it Morocco or Egypt, not too long ago.
I think it's
and
Egypt.
He made a,
Egypt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he made a statement to say, you will not enter the sports arena unless you are vaccinated.
Okay.
So by making such a statement, you are making it mandatory. You are saying vaccination is mandatory. And I said to the minister, I said, Minister, if the government has not taken that position of mandatory vaccination, you must all sing off of the same hymn page. You must all be doing one thing, because you, as Deputy Minister of Health, are saying it's not mandatory. The government is saying it's not mandatory. President Cyril Ramaphosa told us months ago it was not mandatory, and he said it will not be made mandatory.
So
he promised the nation of South Africa and said it will not be made mandatory in a video. We've all seen that video clip.
But now, okay, when workers, when employees are getting such emails that say, if you're not vaccinated, and this would be the, what do you call that? Yeah, the consequences of you not, you know, being vaccinated. So what are our rights in that manner?
Let me explain in the instance of employment and workers, because there's a lot of confusion out there. Number one, part of the confusion that is coming from the employers themselves, because many employers actually think that the government is saying that vaccines are mandatory. They don't know. That's why I said to the deputy minister, you need to come out honestly and with integrity and make that statement publicly, because many employers are making these statements under the impression that vaccination is mandatory. So that is number one. The government needs to be honest enough to make a statement and bold enough and to put it in writing to say vaccination is not mandatory. So that's number one problem, is that many employers are misled and misunderstanding what the government has said. That's number one.
Sure.
Number two, as an employer, let me say this to you, that if you are an employee and you've received one of these letters,
yeah.
there are certain things that you need to do. This is how you need to respond.
Mm.
Number one, you need to refer to your rights in the Constitution.
Know your rights there.
Rights in yeah. the Constitution. Refer to Section 10, which really talks about dignity, protecting the dignity of the of citizens, and it also embraces a certain aspect of freedom of choice. So you need to respond by saying that you have a constitutional right, which is contained in the Constitution, which is the highest law in the land, and Section 10 protects your dignity and freedom of choice. You need to also refer, number two, to refer to Chapter 2 of the Constitution, which protects the right to decide what medical procedures that one can undergo. Now, let's go to the employment and labor laws.
Mm.
The Ministry of Employment and Labor is the one that was responsible for drafting guidelines and policies around mandatory vaccination. The Ministry of Employment and Labor, their directive, they have never said that vaccines are mandatory. That's why I say many employers have misunderstood.
Hmm.
What they said and what they require of employers
hmm.
is that employers must make a plan. Gasiburu rire, make a plan.
Yeah.
Employers are required to make a plan, to develop a plan, to say how are they going to deal with vaccination in their workplace.
Okay.
So many employers have misunderstood that to mean that they must say vaccination is mandatory. That's not what
okay.
the directive is saying. The directive is saying make a plan to see how you will manage COVID-19. So you can make a plan by saying people must social distance. You can make a plan by saying people must wear masks. You can make a plan by spreading out your employees throughout the building. That is all part of making a plan. There's nowhere where it says part of the plan must to make vaccination mandatory. That is left to the discretion of the employer. It is left to the discretion of the employer. So it does not direct employers to enforce mandatory vaccination plans. So I hope employers are listening out there and they understand that government policy is not. They encourage. There's a difference between encouraging people to vaccinate
yeah.
and making it mandatory.
Mm.
The government up to today has not yet made it mandatory. They're doing their level best to make sure that everybody's vaccinated.
So
They have even, you know, toyed with the idea of making vaccinations at roadblocks. That would be the ultimate contravention of people's individual constitutional and fundamental rights. If the government was to enforce vaccination at roadblocks, that would now mean, as South Africa, we are no longer a democracy, but we are a dictatorship. It would mean we are actually a dictatorial regime, a totalitarian regime. Democracy would have completely been thrown out of the window if we would be forced to be given vaccination.
No.
Then we would have become a banana republic.
Okay. Now, Mama, when then it is said that the country's laws do allow for such a policy.
Yeah.
Even if the government hasn't publicly and hasn't, you know, passed that law that vaccines should be mandatory at workplaces. But now, if the country's laws do allow such a policy, what's that? Does it mean that then, as I'm an employer, I do have the right to say...
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You. But here's the thing.
Mm.
This is what I was still taking you through step by step.
Okay, all right, Mom.
That even though it may seem that it allows, there are other laws that actually do not allow employers to do that.
Okay.
Because in the first instance, for you to fire me because I'm not vaccinated is discriminatory. And the Employment Equity Act, actually, you can hear by the name of the act, Employment Equity. It means it provides for equity. It provides for equity, but it stands against discrimination. So the main purpose of the Employment Act is to ensure that you're not discriminated against. You must not be discriminated against because of your gender. You must not be discriminated against because of your color. So basically, it's there to protect you from being discriminated. So if you are being fired because you have not been vaccinated, you are being discriminated against. And you must then now respond by actually raising up the aspect. And you can bring a case. You can bring a case against your employer for discrimination. And you can even report the matter to South Africa, the South Africa Human Rights Commission. And this is, you know, I wanted to go through step by step to say, this is what you must do if you have received one of those letters.
Okay.
So like I said, the first instance is you cite the Constitution as the supreme law of the land. And you cite Section 10.
Section 10.
Which protects your freedom of, your dignity and freedom of choice. You cite Chapter 2, which protects your right to decide what medical procedure you want to have. And then you also cite the Labor Relations Act. Now, the Labor Relations Act is the act that provides for when an employee can be dismissed. And in that, it sets out circumstances to say an employer can dismiss an employee on certain grounds. One of the grounds that you can be dismissed for is, for instance, misconduct. You can be dismissed for misconduct. What is misconduct? Serious misconduct is defined, for instance, as things like theft. If you have stolen from your employee, you can be dismissed. If you have been, you know, you refuse to take lawful orders of some sort, you know, which were lawful. Remember, it's lawful orders. You can be dismissed. So nowhere in the Labor Relations Act does it talk about does empower an employer to actually dismiss his employee because of refusal to take the vaccination. Nowhere does it do that. So you can cite the Labor Relations Act. You can cite the Employment Equity Act, which protects you from being discriminated against. Now, this is very important, what I'm going to say now. The reason why you're being discriminated against, what you will cite, is that, number one, people who have been vaccinated, it is a fact, a scientifically proven fact, that people who have been vaccinated can still get COVID. They can still get COVID. It is a fact. We know that. It is also a fact that people who've been vaccinated can still transmit COVID. And that is the reason why people who've been vaccinated are still told to wear masks. And they are still told to social distance, because vaccination is not a guarantee against contracting COVID. So if vaccination is not a guarantee, that means then that if, even as a vaccinated person, I can still contract COVID and transmit it to them, why are you now discriminating against me as an unvaccinated person? So that is discrimination. That is discrimination, because there's no 100% guarantee. People have gotten contracted COVID still as vaccinated people. So it is definite discrimination. It is definite discrimination.
Okay.
And, yes, so this is what I want to say to people who have gotten that letter. Number one, you do not accept a verbal notice. Do not accept a verbal notice. You must only accept that written letter.
Okay.
Keep the written letter, and you I'll tell you where you can actually send the written letter. There are this is how you respond, and then I will send to you, Bongi, the email addresses where there can be people who can represent you. But you also have the right to apply for a medical exemption. You also have a right to apply for a religious exemption. For instance, medical exemption, the vaccine has been shown in some instances to bring out blood clots in certain people. So you can apply if you are somebody also who has a certain condition, high blood pressure, etc. You can apply for a medical exemption on those grounds to say that you believe you may have an adverse reaction to the vaccine. Now, remember that Dr. Nkosazana Zuma, Dlamini Zuma, has started a no compensation fund for for people who suffer adverse effects.
Mm-hmm.
She started that. So there's a fund to compensate people who have suffered adverse effects from the vaccine. What does that mean? That means the government has actually acknowledged that there are people who suffer adverse effects and that there are people who died. So they know that, because you'll not start a fund to compensate people if they're not people who've died
from that. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. It's an acknowledgement, and it's something I put to the deputy minister as well. So they know that there are people who suffered adverse effects. So you can, on those background, apply. You tell that you are getting a medical exemption, and you can also strengthen your medical exemption by going to a medical doctor, going to a doctor and asking a doctor to write a report for you regarding medical that will support your medical exemption case. So that's very important. Do not accept a verbal notice. Ask for a written notice which states the reason for which that the, uh-huh.
So you also are not going to even, you're not supposed to even open your mouth. I think it's best when you've received that letter to then write back, because
absolutely,
you shouldn't even.
Right.
Yeah.
Write back, raising all the issues that I've shared here on this platform. And the other thing I want to say is if you are refused entry to your workplace, your work premises, this is what you say, because there are lawyers out there who are ready to represent you and represent a number of cases. But if you are refused entry to your work premises, this is what you write and tell them. You tell them that you will work from home and that the employer must continue to pay you.
Okay.
You will work from, if they refuse you.
So you continue to work at
you
home.
You continue to work. You continue, because it will be an unfair dismissal. And we will take these cases up. We will take them up before wherever, CCMA, labor court. We will take them even up to the Constitutional Court, where you will either be reinstated and refunded, so that you will have to be even paid out even up to 24 months salary if you are dismissed. So you make sure that you continue working. Don't just give up and say, hey, continue to work and tell the employer that, and as far as you are concerned, you are still employed, because you cannot be dismissed on the basis of discriminatory reasons. Continue to work from home and tell them that you expect them to continue to pay them, and lodge a discrimination case. If they barred you from going to the office, lodge a discrimination case with the SAHRC, which is the South African Human Rights Commission. The South African Human Rights Commission has also made ruling on this in terms of human rights. So lodge a discrimination case with them.
Okay. I'm just thinking about somebody who we are talking about at this moment, you know, somebody who received that letter and they're thinking about what next, and I'm thinking about the emotional turmoil that comes with it. But let's continue the talk after this. Let's go to the news headlines and then come back to talk to you some more, Mama.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
22 minutes, it is just before 3, and I'll be saying goodbye to you just before 3, like a couple of minutes before 3. I'll be saying goodbye to you in Germany. Johan else will take you through with something else at 3 o'clock, and he will be with you again on Spectrum from 4 o'clock up until 6 o'clock. It is Heart to Heart with me, and I'm not alone. I'm with Mama Dr. Pearl Kube. We're having some technical issues. Our guys are still busy, and I apologize. I'm getting messages from family members on Facebook saying, but you said, yeah, I know I said that we'll be broadcasting streaming live from Facebook. I'm so sorry that we are unable to do that. But yeah, we're still going to have our podcast from this. And so you can also listen to it on our podcast on our website. Okay, Mama, there are some questions that came through. I know I asked the question before we went to that break. I asked the question, but I think let's put my question on pause and take family members' questions. There's one that says, but I'm not quite sure if I do understand this one. If you're vaccinated under false pretenses by the employer, what can one do? I'm not quite sure I do understand. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I also don't understand what it means.
I'm not quite sure.
Let me try it.
Okay.
I think what they may be asking is if you've been forced to vaccinate, so that's the false pretenses, the employer has fraudulently made you vaccinate, what can you do? I think that's what they're asking.
Oh, okay. All right. So if that's the case, what is your advice?
Well, there are a number of things. First of all, I mean, it's important that you don't consent. If you don't want to vaccinate, it's important that you stand for your rights. One of the things I've been doing is just sharing that if you really don't want the vaccine in your body and you feel, I do not want this and it's a violation of my freedom of choice, and I've said, as believers, you do not only have freedom of choice, which is constitutionally entrenched. You've been given it by God as well. It's biblically entrenched. So when God says in Deuteronomy, I've placed before you curses and blessings, life and death. And then he says, choose life. Hmm. So God has given you the free will, freedom of choice. And so as a believer, nobody, no government has the right to take away a right which is both biblically entrenched and constitutionally entrenched. You must exercise your freedom of choice to choose. Don't be intimidated. Don't be threatened. There are lawyers who are there who will represent you and defend your constitutional rights. Now, the second thing I've said is if you do not, from a practical point of view, because I think they may be asking, how can I, you know, with this vaccine, what can I do? Well, there are legal follow-ups that you can make. Again, we're going to give you website addresses in terms of if you want to follow up legally, but in the first instance, don't consent. Now, if you want to also get rid of the vaccine, we have a website, and I'm going to give you the website because this website is a group of medical experts from all over the world, some of the top best medical experts. And they are, I belong to this group, it's called World Council for Health. It's called World Council for Health. And you can go to this website, and there is a detox guide on this website. If you feel that, listen, I did not want to take this vaccine, and I want it out of my body, there is a detox guide that is available to you. It does not only work to detox vaccines. It also works to detox COVID. If you have had COVID, and sometimes there's some people who are long COVID sufferers, it will also detox the COVID in your body. So it will do both. So you go to
www.worldcouncilforhealth.org. World Council for Health.
It's one word. www.worldcouncilforhealth.org. And if you go in there, you will see that you look for resources. You will see that there's something called Spike Protein Detox Guide. You can use that if you feel that your employer fraudulently forced you to take the vaccine. You do not want the vaccine in your body. It is possible to detox of the vaccine. And you can go into that website to help you do that. And just look for the resources there. They will tell you about what vitamins to take. You can use things like pine needle tea, neem, and comfrey tea, but not if you're pregnant. You can use things like ivermectin and quercetin. Boost your immunity by using magnesium, zinc, multivitamins, St. John's wort. There's a wealth of resources there that can help you boost your natural immunity, because your natural immunity is the best and is the strongest.
Okay.
And it can be at risk. If you start taking other options, it can actually make your lower and kill your natural immunity. So be very, very cautious of what you put in your body. It can kill your natural immunity.
A family member says, hi, Sisbongile. My question is, what if you can't work from home? What if the type of work doesn't allow you to work at home? So if you got this email that we were talking about, this letter, this call, others didn't get letters or emails, so they were called and you said, do not take verbal, right? But now, what do you do if you got an email, but you can't be working from home? Your work requires you to be at the premises.
Then the option, that other option that I mentioned around discrimination, you pursue a discrimination case against your employer. And like I said, you go to the South African Human Rights Commission and you lodge a case of discrimination, unfair discrimination.
Sure. Mom, the question that comes is, how long would it take with all the emotional turmoil that it will bring and the fight? How long?
Well, I mean, it's difficult for me to say how long, because it will depend on the number of instances, on the institution, on the number of cases that are before. But like I said, we do have a group of lawyers and resources, and I'm going to send you all of that. So if you go, that's the reason why.
You can utilize those.
Right. That's the reason why we have those people. So they, in some instances, they will do group cases, you know, so that they can take them as groups. But they will know how to go directly to the issue, so they can help fast forward it. Mm-hmm. But I can't sit here and say it's going to take 2 weeks or it's going to take 1 month.
Yeah.
I don't know, because the justice system is the justice system.
Yeah.
And depends on a number of factors.
All right.
Yeah.
And I was asking that also because another family member said when you started mentioning the steps on which one can take, one of the family members says, but now some of us do not know the law. How are we going to write this? But I think you've answered it very well when you spoke about the lawyers that can be contacted for that. Good afternoon. Thank you for all the info. I would like to know, what about school children that are not vaccinated? Will they be allowed back into school? They do not want to be vaccinated. What about participating in any sports? We are unsure. Thank you so much. I'm a concerned granny.
Yeah. So school children, of course, there was a move and a push by the department, the Ministry of Health. We know that on 15th of October, the Minister of Health, Dr. Joe Pasha, talked about vaccinating children and from the ages of 12 to 17. We also know, he said in his speech, that the reason for doing that, they said that was because he wanted to add 6 million of the children. He said by doing that, they can add 6 million to their numbers. I'm quoting from his speech. I'm not saying what he has not said, because they have a very low vaccination rate of about 30%. And the South African government's target was 70%. So the plan was to vaccinate children to increase their numbers by 6 million. So that they could now try and reach the target, which they have internationally committed to. So it is not about what South Africans feel, what South Africans want, but it's about making sure that they reach targets which they committed to international organizations such as WHO. So to the granny, I want to say this. First of all, I want you to know that your child, your grandchild, has a right to refuse. Unfortunately, the Children's Act, there's a provision in the Children's Act that allows for children to receive medical intervention without their parents' consent. It's unfortunate that there is that provision. And we actually, Section 129 of the Children's Act of 2005 deals with things like that. So as parents, what you need to do is sit down with your child. If you do not want them to be vaccinated, tell them they have a right to refuse. They must not think that when they go to school, they cannot refuse. They can refuse. And tell them they must not allow anybody to make them vaccinate against their will. So parents must take that responsibility.
Okay.
Because they do not need parental consent. But if you as a parent who still has authority over them do not want them to vaccinate, and they do not want to vaccinate, you must sit and tell your child, coach them, let them know that if they are being forced to vaccinate, they must call you. They
okay.
must phone you. But they must look for an adult to help them to resist any attempt to force them to vaccinate. So you must sit down and let them know that they have rights, and if they do not want to be vaccinated, you've agreed as a family, they must speak up for themselves and say no.
All right.
So they can. The short answer is yes. They can go back to school, and schools are not allowed. Like I say, it's violation of their constitutional rights. Now let me quickly say this. Also, just in terms of university, let me grab this because
okay, yeah.
for university students, because the universities such as University of Cape Town, for instance, that have made it mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what you do for university students. You can also submit medical or religious exemptions to say that you do not want to be vaccinated for medical grounds, on medical grounds, or religious exemption grounds. Secondly, I want you to know that we have a group called UASA, UASA for university students. It is the Universities Alliance of South Africa, and it is a non-profit company. So they represent university students, and they also represent university staff who are opposed to mandatory vaccines. There are chapters. If you are at this university, if you are at Stellenbosch, if you are at University of Pretoria, if you are at UFS, University of Free State, if you are at Rhodes or Northwest University, there are chapters of UASA at your university.
Okay.
There is a team of counsel, advocates, about four advocates that will represent you there. And you can take this email. You can write to them on this email. Info, the email is info@unialliance.co.za.
Info at Uni Alliance.
Uni Alliance, one word, .co.za. Uni Alliance is UNIALLIANCE.co.za. So you write to them if you're a university member, staff member, and you are opposed to mandatory vaccine, but your university has taken the decision to implement it. You can write to UASA, and UASA will assist you in representing you.
The last one, Mama. Your time is against us.
Hi, I just want to find out. I work for a non-profit organization, People with Disability. They have told me if I do not vaccinate, the main member will take her child out because of me not being vaccinated. Because of my religion, I do not want to be vaccinated. So I'm being forced to vaccinate because she will take her child out if I do not vaccinate. What am I to do? Do I say, okay, I will resign because of the fact that they will lose their kids because of that? Or do I just carry on working and then they take their kids out, then it's my fault? What do I do?
Sure. Mama, as we wrap
now,
up.
Again, it's just a discrimination case. Because even the people who, I don't know why that person is saying they'll take their child out, because their child can contract COVID from a vaccinated person. So again, it goes back to discrimination. COVID can be contracted from a vaccinated and unvaccinated person. So by saying that you are unvaccinated, it's discrimination. You need to report that case to the South African Human Rights Commission. You need to stand your ground, and you need to just lodge a case of discrimination to the South African Human Rights Commission. It is a discrimination case.
All right, Ivan. Sure, Mama, I think our time is up. Not that I think, I know it's up, and I see some questions coming through.
Can I just add one last thing very quickly, just as another resource? There's another very powerful resource. I work with another movement, a movement called the redlist.co.za. It is a movement that allows citizens to stand up for themselves. It empowers citizens to have a voice, to not be forced into making decisions that they don't want to make, especially those that relate to mandatory vaccines. There's a lot of information there. I work with them as a legal sort of a voice there. Mm. There's a lot of information. It's a movement that was started by a friend of mine, Captain Raffaele. So please go in there. The website, www.theredlist.co.za.
Okay.
If you go in there, a lot of resources, a lot of information. You will get those templates also of what kind of letters you can write to your employees. So all the websites I've given you will give you direction on how to respond, what to write, what to say, all of those.
Now, Mama, I know that you will be putting up some things on your Facebook page as well. I think there are some other questions here that we couldn't even respond to because of time, and so maybe they can know about what you're doing on the 13th. I think you have a an Imbizo kind where you will be empowering and people can ask questions there. So what is your Facebook page where people can go and find more info there?
My Facebook page is Pearl Homoso Kupe. Homoso with a G, not with an H. Pearl Homoso, K-G-O-M-O-T-S-O Kupe. You can go there. We also have a Facebook page called Hashtag We Shall Not Be Silent.
Okay. Hashtag We Shall Not Be Silent.
Yeah, so there's a lot of information there. So our Zoom meeting will be on the 13th of January, Thursday, starting at 7 o'clock. So, and we will be putting the link up there. We'll put it on both pages. So please do join us. You can ask questions there. And there will be three speakers there. One of them will be speaking on the medical implications, Dr. Kathradra. Kathradra, very, very powerful woman, one of the members, founding members of World Health Council.
Okay.
We'll be talking about the medical implications. Jarrett, a friend of mine, he's the founder of Hashtag I'm Staying, you know, the group I'm Staying. And then the founder also of the redlist.co.za,
okay.
Catherine Raffaele, will be there with Bishop Makubu and I as the host.
On the 13th, but we can go to your Facebook page and check all of these, or go to hashtag We Will Not Be Silent on Facebook, and we'll get all the info. Thank you so much, Mama.
Yes.
May God richly bless you, and may your 2022 be filled with all of His goodness and His kindness and love. We love you so much. Have a blessed one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for hosting me, and bye-bye to everybody.
Words of truth and value. You'll find it on 657 AM. It's 657 AM, the sounds of your life.